This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. It's great to have you listening today. In the last few years, philanthropist Sheldon Lubar has made headlines for his outspoken views on reforming Milwaukee County government. And in fact, many of the changes at the Board of Supervisors level are going into effect, though their effects are yet to be measured. It's been a very public political stand for someone who has never held elected office himself, though he did serve in the administrations of Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, and Jimmy Carter. But Lubar, who grew up first in Sherman Park and later Whitefish Bay before founding his private investment company, Lubar & Company, has never really left Milwaukee behind. And in fact, his stamp is firmly affixed here in places like the Business School at UW-Milwaukee, which carries his name. We sat down for a wide-ranging interview with Lubar in the latest in a series of conversations recorded at the University Club of Milwaukee. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
When you think of the Milwaukee that existed as you grew up, you started your life in Sherman Park, if I'm not mistaken, and then moved to Whitefish Bay. And then you look at the Milwaukee that's out there today. What successes do you see in where we are as a city, and what are the missed opportunities?
Well, when I grew up in the 1930s, living on Sherman Boulevard across the street from Sherman Park, and I went to Townsend Street grade school through fourth grade. This was the center of the Depression. That was a depression. And I would say if you had a job working at Schuster's department store, you were probably earning $20 a week. And you were supporting yourself and your family. And there were no safety nets. There was a little north of Townsend Street School, a public housing, but the people in public housing were working, and everybody was, by most standards, poor but supporting themselves.
And so you look today, and if it weren't so foggy, we could probably almost see to that part of the city. Probably not very many safety nets exist there today for many of those people as well. What are the opportunities that have been missed in terms of moving an area like that? I mean, things got better after the Depression, but for many people in the time since then, things have gotten worse.
Well, what happened was that World War II started, and there was a shortage of workers, and Milwaukee had heavy industry companies. They had A.O. Smith that produced things for the military, and there was more than full employment. You had a lot of people from the South coming into the industrial cities. I think Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular have been known as manufacturing centers, and they still are. We are as a state of 5.5 million people, a state that is largely manufacturing. We shouldn't forget that. Things have changed, of course, and they've certainly changed in terms of the federal government providing Social Security. Social Security was first developed in the early 30s by FDR and the New Deal. And, of course, we have a very deep coverage now in the area of medical help and other support. I mean, it's absolutely, totally different.
You served in the Nixon, the Ford, and the Carter administrations. That was a time when there was partisanship in government, but things still got accomplished. When you look at the political climate today, it's still partisan, and things are not necessarily getting accomplished, at least to the same degree. What's different about politics today, do you think?
Well, I think you stated the situation. I know when I was recruited to come to Washington to work on the National Housing Review of 1973, which we did, And it ultimately resulted in legislation in September of 1973 that is basically still the housing law of the land today. And we had a discredited Republican president, and we had a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, and that legislation was passed. And I like to think that a large part of getting it passed was Congressman Henry Royce from Milwaukee, who I knew, who was the number two man on the two or three on the House Banking and Housing Subcommittee. He was an honest, upright, highly intelligent man, and he wanted to do things that were right and right for the country. And I wish we had more people like that in Congress now, instead of just being looking out for their own ideas of how governance would be if they were the dictator.
Do you think that piece of legislation could have passed today?
No, I don't. The problem is, in a democracy, compromise is the integral activity. You have one thought on how things should be done, I have another. It isn't you're right and I'm wrong. It is that we have to sit down and negotiate it to a reasonable outcome.
You have been outspoken in your desire to reform county government. What is it about that layer of government that raises your ire the most?
Well, I think the thing that got me involved initially was the fiscal crisis, that the county had accumulated $2.5 billion of debt, that the county was running a deficit, whereas it's the largest component of the county, Milwaukee, seemed to have been run well. I mean, they had no debt to speak of. They had a pension fund that was fully funded. The county pension fund was far from, nor is it today, fully funded. And the city did not run a deficit. And the city was not overpaying its members on the Common Council and having excessive retirement benefits. And I just thought it was outrageous. And it led to the recall of County Exec Tom Ament. It led to the recall of certain supervisors, but it didn't lead to the reform of the board itself. We saw recently there was a referendum to return the County Board of Supervisors basically to a part-time job, which is how it exists in the other 71 or 72 counties in the state. We're the only ones that have full-time, high-paid, and the pay was cut in half, and the staffs were reduced. So that's what attracted me.
What would you believe is going to be the upshot of those changes? What should the county now be able to accomplish that potentially wasn't being accomplished because of this layer of bureaucracy?
Whether the structure of the county governance is such that it can exist is a question. Because this board of supervisors, and working with Chris Abley, the county exec, and the one that was working with Scott Walker, have this same situation that you described in Congress, where one side really feels that it's their job to see that the other side can do nothing. And that's really what happens. There's this hostility that goes on there as opposed to a cooperative feeling. The hope would be that the Board of Supervisors and the county exec could work together, could negotiate together, could come out with a result that really produces what the citizens deserve and what the citizens are paying for. And I think, you know, we can be critical of Milwaukee, but I think in general, the Common Council and the mayor have found a way to work together. I'd like to see the mayor being responsible for the Milwaukee public school system, the way the mayor is in other cities. And I think the governance of the Milwaukee public school systems is the biggest problem we have in the in this county.
Is there any, along these lines, is there any getting civility back into politics? Does it take a remarkable leader to kind of bring it back? Does the county board and the county executive need, do they need to go to therapy together?
It's a good suggestion. Probably required. I think there's this attitude, I mean, that I sense with the board of supervisors. They're ambitious people, and they think that their way is the only way. It isn't a cooperative effort. To achieve it, you do need a strong leader. You can go along and bump along and not see the progress that you know, some of us see in a city like Chicago that has had the strong leadership in the past and even now. And I hope we do get to a point where we can say we have that.
You have served on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. Your name is on the business school at UWM and on this pen that I'm holding. So let me ask you a higher education question. As UWM has started its search for a new chancellor, what should the university be looking for in a new leader, and what direction do you think UWM needs to move at this point in time?
The University of Wisconsin system, I have said, and I believe, is the most important institution in the state. 13 universities, 13 two-year colleges, an extension in every county in the state, great research coming out of Madison, research also beginning and coming and developing here in Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee has a huge opportunity to, and it is fulfilling it. I mean, the business school has more graduates every year. I mean, this is the largest business school in the state. It's larger than what is in Madison. And it's touched a lot of people. It's provided leaders in a lot of the bigger companies in town, and perhaps most important, it's provided a lot of leadership for smaller businesses. So it has a huge responsibility, and it has provided leadership, and it will. Some of us feel that we want to see the campus spread into the center of the city and not just where it is. Because, you know, the path to a good life is through education. And that means we have to get education on the primary K-12 level to a level that doesn't require remediation, which it does today, to say nothing of the fact that perhaps no more than half of the people in K-12 in Milwaukee do graduate. That is the measure of the wealth of a nation. It isn't GMP. It will be. You will have high GMP. It is what is the level of education of the citizenry.
Do you think UWM has a role to play in elevating the K-12 situation in this city?
I think it does. I think all of the universities in the state do, but especially Milwaukee. The people out there in the schools are largely products of these 13 universities. Most of the teachers have graduated from one of them. And I think that I think what's lacking is the governance of the K through 12s, absolutely in Milwaukee and throughout the state to some level. I can't tell you, I'm not familiar, but I am familiar with what Milwaukee has produced. I think the parent parent teachers associations and principals and everyone else wants to get in, should get in and involved in the problem and do something about it. The police chief wants things to develop differently. It has to have leadership.
Well, and as we said, UWM is looking for a new chancellor. At the same time, Milwaukee Public Schools are searching for a new superintendent. So do you see, is there an opportunity at this stage?
Big, absolutely. I think we'll have a chancellor that will recognize their role. I think Mike Lovell recognized his role, and I'm glad to see that he's at Marquette, which is an important ingredient in this whole equation.
What gives you the most satisfaction in what you do today?
I think meeting with the students that are at the Lubar Business School or at the Medical College of Wisconsin, who at Marquette that we may have sponsored with scholarships. And it's very gratifying to feel that you're offering a helping hand to someone who is working to be a productive part of our community.
And I don't know, do we have any additional questions from the audience?
What led you to make such a major gift to the UW School of Business?
Kanti Prasad was the dean. Eric Schenker had come before him, and he's the one that drew me in, and I'd worked with the business school. And the at that time, the chancellor was Carlos Santiago, and they came over and asked me. And I said, okay. It was just about that simple. I said, I do have to consult with my wife. I was really so happy to do it. And we'll do more.
Well, Sheldon Lubar, I thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing this part of your story.
Thank you.
Sheldon Lubar is a Milwaukee native, founder and chairman of the private investment firm Lubar & Company. We spoke with him in the latest in a series of interviews recorded in front of an audience at the University Club of Milwaukee. In an increasingly digital world, why a new library goes old school with a physical time capsule? That story when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.